Cowboys.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. The buzz this morning has been Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns overshadowing a good win by Cleveland. It may not have been the best played game, but it is a win nonetheless. But Garrett's actions at the end of the game in swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph's head is the story and what the league needs to do about it. It's an outrageous moment. It's one of the most terrifying things I've seen a player do on the field. Albert Haynesworth's name has been mentioned a number of times when he stomped that Cowboy player, Gerard, in the chest. It also brings up a number of other instances where players have used a hockey stick or a baseball bat. Robert sending me a tweet in 1965, Juan Marichal hitting Johnny Roseborough with a bat in a game, got an 8-game suspension and fined $1,700 and $1,750. You know that there is fighting has been not condoned. There's still penalties for little fisticuffs, but for the most part, it's kind of part of the deal when you're talking about a physicality of a sport and emotions and whatnot. We see base clearing brawls in baseball when pitchers go a little too high and inside, you know, when they try to go after a guy's head. We see emotions get the best of them and they come all out. We've seen NBA players do this, but we don't see weapons. We don't see a lot of times a bat being used. We don't see a hockey stick being used very often. I'm not going to say never because there's been instances, as I just mentioned, but we don't see this kind of thing. I've never seen a player take a helmet and swing that helmet at a head of a player, a defenseless player. Now, I'm not saying there hasn't been one. I don't remember one. I thought it was the most incredible thing I've seen in terms of the violent nature of the sport. And now the league has to come down here and say something and do something about it. What will they do? It could be a whole year. It could be 6 games. It could be 4 games. Who knows? I mean, really, who knows? Yes, did Mason Rudolph start it? Yeah, but Myles Garrett finished it in a way that really has us all kind of wondering where the league is going to take this. Their best defensive player could be out a long time, and it overshadows a good win against a weak Steelers team last night. Games coming up on Sunday. What to watch, what not to watch next. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got to get to some games this weekend. What to watch, what not to watch, their value and importance as we head into the weekend of the NFL. Hudson Mason is going to join us, former Georgia quarterback, college football analyst, on the college football state that we're in right now after LSU, Alabama, and the big upset by Minnesota over Penn State. Before we do that, time to tell you about Purple seat cushions. They're made with the Purple grid, soft where you want it, firm where you need it, cool all over. If you sit for work, if you're on a computer a lot, or you want to go to a game, or you just, you know, sit down, you want to sit in comfort. And this is where the Purple mattress does its job. Instantly adapts to your body, personalized comfort and support. It's got hundreds of open air channels, keeps you at a comfortable temperature, and it sits the test of time. So it's ultra durable. You can follow it. It would take it around for years and years and years. Again, total no pressure support, soft and firm at the same time. You can sit at work, at home, at the game, anywhere you want. You could do it comfier and longer. Also, it's got some handles, so it's totable. You can take it place to place. And it is different from what you may have heard about the Purple mattress. It's specifically formulated for sitting, just as the Purple mattress is for lying down, because of the Purple grid. 30-day trial, 1-year warranty, free shipping and returns at purple.com. Go to purple.com/seat cushions now. purple.com/seat cushions. Why sit uncomfortably when you can sit in comfort with the Purple seat cushion? Again, visit them at purple.com/seat cushions. All right, let's get to the NFL in the, we're already at week 10. Is that, no, week 11. Right, week 11. We just done week 10.
These go to 11.
All right, so let's get going. The Dallas Cowboys will be at Ford Field. We'll take on the Detroit Lions.
Thanksgiving preview.
This isn't a must-win for Dallas because them and Philadelphia have gone back and forth with wins and losses, but it certainly would be nice to sort of squash some of the, oh, what's wrong with Dallas and Jason Garrett questions that keep popping up every now and then. So Matt Stafford could be out for the Lions. Another Jeff Driskel start, if that's the case. He's dealing with that back injury.
Or Kaepernick.
Can you imagine, like, hey, Cap, can you be ready tomorrow? Well, I don't really know. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about the playbook. Just go out there. You know, go old school. Backyard football. Just draw it on your hands.
Tell them where to go.
You go five yards up and in. You do the post pattern.
That's right. Dallas is 5-4, but a little interesting statistic on this one. They are in the top five in both rushing and passing this season. So I think Dak Prescott is number two in passing yards in the NFL. So there you go. Cowboys should be better than 5-4, but... So again, not a must win, but these are the kind of games you want to win. If Detroit's a little weaker without Matt Stafford, go win it. Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Nick Foles in the Jacksonville Jaguars. His Gardner Minshew era is now done. Facing the Indianapolis Colts with is Brian Hoyer going to play? Is Jacoby Brissett going to play? Is Adam Vinatieri going to kick the ball actually through the uprights? That's a cheap shot, don't you think, on a career like Adam Vinatieri?
Yep.
Who's been so clutch and so money.
But there's no love for kickers, Tony.
There's no love for kickers. It's a what have you done for me lately kind of thing. The man won two Super Bowls on his leg, and I just ripped him apart
and
teased him for missing a lot of kicks this season. How that's rude of me. That is very mean. Let's get to Jacksonville, though. Gardner Minshew did a fine job in replacement, but Nick Foles is going to get the start. They're 4-5 on the season.
Dare we say we find Minshew sexier than Foles?
We do. Although I did like Foles' speech the other day on his faith and what he's learned from being injured and all. It's a good perspective take.
It's a good Hallmark movie moment, but
right.
You know,
he doesn't have a mustache or a bandana.
Yeah, sometimes we want the action.
That's right. So we want the
Tom Selleck Magnum PI lookalike.
The red hot Miami Dolphins will be taking on the Buffalo Bills down at Hard Rock Stadium
in
Miami Gardens. This is where the Dolphins emerge and start putting some fear into teams. Hear me out. Are the Dolphins now not good, but? And not
right?
dangerous, okay, but enough to make you go, we can't lose to this team now. Like before it was, let's just roll it out. They stink and they kind of want to stink. But now we don't want to be a team that loses to them. So let's be a little worried about what they're doing.
I mean, let's face it, Tony. They're not out of the playoff hunt.
2-7.
Yeah, this AFC crop of the wild card teams.
Yep.
9-7 might just get you into the playoffs.
What if they win out? If it's good enough for Cleveland with that one loss coming to us?
What if your two wild card teams were the Browns and the Dolphins?
I know. Wouldn't that be crazy?
That'd be great.
It would be great. If there's a football god, let that happen.
It'd be fantastic.
Denver on the road at Minnesota. Is Drew Lock playing? I think I keep seeing reports that he might play.
Drew?
Yeah, Drew Lock. But I think he's just getting some practice this week. I don't think he's actually going to play. So, but did you hear what Von Miller said? You want to talk about spin. They asked Von Miller about Drew Lock. He said Drew Lock is going to be a star in this league, and he hopes that he is around when that happens. He basically said he's going to be a star in this league, and I want to be around here when he's famous.
So basically he's saying that there's a good chance that he's not going to be around here when Drew Lock becomes famous.
Yeah, exactly. But what's wrong with Brandon Allen, who's coming off that victory against the Browns, huh? What's wrong with that? That's not bad.
LA
right?
couldn't possibly have gotten one right, could he?
Right, no, maybe. Brandon Allen, ladies and gentlemen.
It. We already know that one.
So there you go. Could be going up against a very good Minnesota Vikings team. That is a good Minnesota Vikings team. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has the worst pass defense in the NFL. And earlier this week, they got rid of Vernon Hargraves, one of their veteran corners, because he wasn't hustling on a play last week in their game against Arizona. So what does this mean? Drew Brees, if you're going to bounce back, this is the team to bounce back against. beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium. What kind of value you got with for this one?
I don't know. This game could be a lot of fun. If Drew goes out there and he sucks it up, does Teddy Bridgewater come in?
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is available, and he's got some, he's right there. He's undefeated. You might want to bench the old man if he can't. If you can't throw and score against this Buccaneers pass defense, you got some problems. But Tampa Bay is number one against the run, so be careful. Anybody who's running the ball, Latavius Murray or Alvin Kamara if he's back. Oh, a good one in D.C. Actually, Landover, Maryland is where we go for
Can't
this one.
Wait.
The New York Jets going up against the Washington Redskins. The Jets, with two wins on the season, coming off their victory against the Giants, going up against the Redskins, who have only one win on the season. This is the game. Well, depending. If you have to watch this, well, find something to do while you have to watch it.
Yeah. Put together that model you always wanted to put together.
Yes. Or peruse Disney Plus. The Black Hole was not a bad movie.
Well, no, you got to watch football, Tony. You can't.
You can do it on your laptop.
I guess.
Just have it on the big screen.
But that's going to distract you. You're supposed to
watch this.
Maybe, is it too early to start decorating your house for Christmas?
Right. It could be.
This is a good game to do that during.
Exactly. By the way, my wife saw that her friend decorated for Christmas already.
Uh-oh.
That means we got to go to the attic this weekend and get our stuff for Christmas.
The gauntlet has been laid out. Yep. Ours is sitting up in a room. We're just waiting for the right moment, and it won't be this weekend.
I was blown away. I almost called my friend and said, why'd you let your wife put up Christmas decorations? Now I have to put up Christmas decorations.
You're no better than the husband in the GMC commercial.
That's right. Take a stand and say it's Thanksgiving, then Christmas.
Yeah. Put up a scarecrow, a pumpkin.
Anything.
Thanksgiving deserves its time.
Exactly. Another game that's intriguing, Atlanta at Carolina. Are the Falcons bouncing back? They're not going to make the playoffs because they make it interesting for Carolina. Listen, here's an interesting statistic on this game that I dug up. Matt Ryan is 6-1 in his last seven games against the Panthers with 15 touchdowns and three interceptions. He may not play other teams well, but he plays the Panthers well. So look out, Carolina. And Carolina at 5-4, there's not a lot of wiggle room in a very tough NFC if you're going to make the postseason as a wild card. So you better start moving in that direction. That could be a good team out of the playoffs because Seattle, San Francisco, Green Bay, Minnesota, two of them are going to win the division.
God, looking over this list of early games, there isn't a game on here that I'm like, oh, this is a must-watch game.
I know. All of them. None of them are really screaming ultimate matchup.
This is where I make up to my wife.
Could be.
I think you should.
Putting up holiday decorations.
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. No. All right, when we come back, we'll get to the one game on the schedule that could be very, very good and a couple that are not so good. As the NFL schedule preview rolls along, Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Improve your visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts and stop by for their See Better Drive Safer Sale. You can earn a $15 gift card after a mail-in rebate when you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades, and they'll even install those wiper blades for free while you wait. By the way, winter in Austin, let us know that you changed your wiper blades, please. You said you were going to, you said you had to. Let us know if you've done so. Because we care. They'll don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Pablo Torre on ESPN?
Yeah.
Good tweet. Make you think tweet. You ready?
I'm ready to think.
Myles Garrett totally failed to respect the difference between consensual and non-consensual brain damage.
Hmm.
That's a good tweet. Makes you process that.
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of a morbid tweet.
It is a morbid tweet, but it does have a little bit of significance.
I guess, is that somewhere written in the contract that they consent to brain damage?
Right. See, that's the deal, right? What he's pointing out is it's such a violent game. The sport is such an NFL.
No one would ever notice someone getting hit in the head by a helmet.
Right. Exactly. So, but then all of a sudden you go, you know, well, if he hits you in the head, he could have caused brain damage. At the same time, they're like, yeah, I don't know. Is brain damage getting hit in the head? CTE,
yeah, because who was the one Steeler we were seeing yesterday? He was bleeding from the ear.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was Washington. Deontay Johnson, maybe. I forget. One of those players was hit, and they was bleeding in the ear. They had
bleeding
to put him in that
from the ear.
Yeah, they had to put him in that booth to take a look at him.
So I mean,
knocked
that,
out.
That was consensual brain damage.
Right. That was right. Never. Here is the rest of the weekend in the NFL. Ready? Here's the game that matters. Houston against Baltimore. That game is going to be big. 7-2 Baltimore, 6-3 Houston. Two MVP candidates under center in Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. No J.J. Watt in the game because he's out for the year, nevertheless.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
Why was this game not flexed?
It should have been flexed.
It should have been flexed, right?
Right. Bears and Rams isn't really that attractive.
Not at all.
Not
unless
at all.
We want to see the demise of two starting quarterbacks.
You know what? I ought to look up, when are you allowed to start flex? You can't flex games all season. I think it occurs at a certain week that they're allowed to flex.
Or maybe this was a game CBS said, we're not giving this one up.
It is very possible that Nance and Tony Romo were like, no, look at the schedule, and we are not giving this one away. So there. Where else are we going to go? Cincinnati, Oakland? Have no interest in that.
I have spoken.
Cincinnati and Oakland. Will the Bengals get their first win, or will Gruden continue to pile up? Knock on wood if you're with me.
Better be Gruden. I'm knocking on wood all day.
Knock on wood if you're with me. Bengals stink. Ryan Finley getting the start at quarterback once again. They don't know what they're doing. Arizona at San Francisco.
You know what they're doing? They're just buying their time until they can get Colin Kaepernick up and ready to go.
What a demoralizing thing it must be for a player on that Bengals to play, get hurt, you know, beat up every game, have to go to the ice bucket every game to be like, oh, my muscles are killing me. My bones ache. Everything aches. But I'm glad I'm out there sacrificing my career so we can find out if Ryan Finley can play quarterback in this league.
You want a fun stat?
Yes.
The Bengals have allowed 173 rush yards per game this season.
Wow. Have they really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Per game, they're giving up just under 200 yards rushing.
This is going to be good for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, so you fantasy players. Hey, OJ, we know you want your fantasy team to be top-notch. Go get yourself some Josh Jacobs.
I did the good thing this week. I started Josh Jacobs against a Bengals defense. It gives up a lot of yards.
Killer move, OJ.
It was a killer move on my part. Get it? how about the Arizona Cardinals in San Francisco to take on the 49ers coming off that Monday night overtime loss in a thriller against Seattle?
Is this what do they call the game when you lose and then you come back and just destroy your opponent?
Redemption game, yeah. Something like that. Yeah,
something along those lines for the Niners.
Yeah, they're just gonna
go like, oh, we're so bitter, we lost that game.
Okay. This game was closer when it was a Thursday night affair, but I don't think that matters whatsoever. This is going to be, should be San Francisco's unleashing defense and Garoppolo playing well enough to remind us that they were once unbeaten in the National Football League.
I'm kind of interested in this game.
I am, a little bit, sure.
I mean,
a little bit, how they bounce back and stuff.
The one thing is like, I feel like I have not watched enough Kyler Murray this year.
I haven't either. I said that the other day to somebody. He said, how do you think Kyler Murray's playing? I said, you know, I got to be honest with you. Outside of that one Thursday night game, and I wasn't really paying attention, I think I haven't really seen a lot of them to make a real honest assessment. Like, red zone can only give you so much, right? I'm not seeing the three and outs. I'm not seeing the tough decisions on third down that he's not making. But record-wise, not terrible. I mean, 3-6-1 is a bad record, but let's be honest. Like, rookie quarterback, rookie head coach.
3-6-1 is fantastic.
And they're kind of competitive in times, not, you know.
See, my benchmark is
always, some games
they
get blown out, and some games are tight.
Whenever I think of rookie quarterbacks, my benchmark is always Troy Aikman.
Right. He went 1-15.
Yeah, wasn't he 1-15 his rookie year?
Yeah.
So I always look at it that way. It's like, all right, if you're better than 1-15, Troy Aikman was a Hall of Famer. So.
Yeah, and statistically, they're middle of the road. They're not atrocious. You know, they're not like bottom of the league in rushing or bottom of the league in passing.
They're
middle
fine.
Of the road. They're not supposed to be 10-6. All right, But 3-6-1, competitive losses to the 49ers, the Buccaneers and whatnot, a tie against the Lions in week one where they came back. Yeah, all right. I mean, I would be like, okay, we're building something. May take a while, but we're building something. That works. So there you go. How about New England and Philadelphia?
You know what Patriots. I just realized?
What?
This game is the
this is Nance, the yes Nance Romo this game. Is the Nance Romo game.
Why would they want to give this one up?
You're
so,
right.
I mean, so our original argument could be valid. Why not flex Texas Ravens? Because
right.
That's a better matchup.
If Nance and Romo were here, then let's try to flex Baltimore and Houston. That's a better matchup.
Because you know they would definitely have this one down on the calendar, Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one. I mean, Houston, Baltimore, this is...
Finally get to see what Carson Wentz can do against the Patriots. Because we didn't get that the last time around.
We did not get that last time. Right, good point. The Super Bowl matchup with... he was not playing, so let's see what he does against this Patriots team. Neither are in a must-win situation. For the Patriots, it's obvious because they've got a two-game lead on their division. Philadelphia, again, same situation. They're just going back and forth with wins and losses with Dallas. Both will probably drop a couple before the season's over, but still doesn't change the fact that this is a pretty good matchup of teams. I don't have a read on Philadelphia. I still have the Patriots as obviously as one of the top teams in the league, but I don't have a read on Philadelphia.
Neither do I.
I'm not really sure what I get when I get an Eagles game.
I mean, I think what it is, and you're probably in the same boat as I am, they should be a lot better than they actually are.
Of course. Yep. Absolutely.
They're better than what their record shows. I mean, I know that old adage, you're only good as your record, but I feel the Eagles are a much better team than what their records have right now.
Well, think about their losses. Their four losses on the season, right? Remember that game against Atlanta where it was back and forth and you thought Atlanta would be pretty decent? That was like in week two. Then the Lions game where we both said, watch out for the Lions in this one. And the Lions went to Philly and won that game. But the Vikings on the road, that was kind of where Kirk Cousins started chucking it all over the place.
But were we doing that to, pander to Robert?
Maybe we did.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think we both said, listen, we liked the Lions at the beginning of the season.
I can't remember if I believed it or not.
Trap game, man.
I mean, I think I believed it because they had just, they hadn't played the Chargers. Never mind.
And they got blown out by the Cowboys. I mean, they got beaten pretty handedly by the Vikings and Cowboys in back-to-back weeks, and then they've won two straight. So, like, they're very, I don't know what I'm getting from them, so I have no idea what's going to happen in this one. I'd like to say the Patriots win, but you never know. The Eagles could play very well and knock them off.
Yeah, so. They're all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm looking over their schedule. So far, they've lost to the Falcons.
That was week two.
Week two, they lost to the Lions, but they beat the Packers.
They did beat the Packers in a game where they were keeping up with the Packers, and then in the end, they won it.
And then, obviously, they beat the Jets. Everyone's beating the Jets. Lose to the Vikings, lose to the Cowboys, beat the Bills. And the Bills are, another one of those teams that we're trying to figure out.
Well, at the time, we thought, the Bills are on to something, and then they lose to the Eagles. Because the Bills were beating weak teams. And we said, listen, when they play somebody good, and here's Philadelphia, let's see what happens. They already had lost to the Patriots. Let's see what happens. And then they lost to Philadelphia, and we started going, wait a minute, is this a Bills team that's going to beat up on weaker teams? But when they play teams that they need to beat, they need to win, against better opponents, they're not going to be able to.
Yeah, they got a tough 2 weeks.
What, the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, the New England, who they got next week?
Seahawks.
Oh, great.
I mean, at least it's at home. But then they get the reprieve because then they play the Dolphins in Miami.
That's right. All right, Chicago at L.A., that's the Sunday night affair in Los Angeles.
I think the only reason why this game is in L.A. or this game is the Sunday night games because it's in L.A.
No, I think at the beginning of the season when they put this together, this was a great matchup.
I don't think
based on
they should have flexed out of it, though. I'm thinking they kept it because it's kind of cold.
I do want to give them the credit. It's not NBC doesn't have a we can flex whatever we want whenever we want kind of thing.
Oh, I know.
So it's possible they went if they could flex, they wouldn't want to get the game that they wanted way in advance. And you can't do it on a week-to-week basis. But at the beginning of the season, think how good this matchup was going to be. At the beginning of the year,
the
NFC champions against a team everyone was thinking could go to the Super Bowl. That's a great Sunday night match. It's not working out for either team. Both teams are really struggling. And, of course, Monday night, Kansas City at the Chargers in Mexico City. The Chargers are in Colorado Springs working on altitude stuff to get acclimated.
Got to do it.
Got to do it is right. And we'll finally get to see
Stadia Azteca?
Yeah. Well, I think we've seen it before, but I don't remember it, so I got to see it again. That'll be Monday night, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, it's coming down to the final few weeks of college football. We still have a lot to digest and process with the way the rankings are coming out, and we still have a lot of games to be played to determine even more as the rankings get going. Hudson Mason joins us, former Georgia quarterback, college football analyst, here on SB Nation AM. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Tony.
All right, so LSU-Alabama, there's a lot of takeaways here, right, in terms of what the win means for LSU, number one, beating Alabama for the first time, Joe Burrow's Heisman. When you process all of that game and what it meant and what it means for the Tigers, what is your takeaway from what happened in Tuscaloosa?
Well, specifically for LSU, I mean, they emphatically deserve to be the number one team right now. You know, the way that Joe Burrow has performed versus top 10 teams has been extraordinary. I think that's what stands out to me, you know, in this offense. I mean, you know, I knew they were good, but there was a little reservation in me until they beat Alabama that would crown them or was ready to crown them as new and elite, and this being a new LSU team. And the way they played, and specifically scoring 40 points, I mean, if they had beaten Alabama and they had scored 17 or 13, and it was a low-scoring game, I think my perspective on them would probably be a lot different. But the fact that they put up a ton of numbers, they were super explosive on offense. Joe Burrow only had 8 incompletions, played phenomenal. You know, the 3 receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, a couple other guys for LSU, had a big game. You know, I think it proves that LSU's the real deal. And you know, I think Alabama's still in this thing as well. I think what matters is how you lose late down the stretch here, and the fact that Alabama was able to keep it close, I think allows them to still be in the race. I think they need a couple things to happen for them to get in, but I definitely still think they're in the conversation.
In terms of the way you see it set up, I mean, again, we have Ohio State and Minnesota possibly playing, and we have, you know, Georgia playing LSU possibly in the, it looks like it, for the SEC title. So one of those will lose. If Georgia wins, there could be 2 SEC teams in and whatnot. But the path for Alabama, as you mentioned, do they need a ton of help, or do they still have a resume when, even if they're not playing on Championship Saturday, there is still something about them that would still trump other one-loss teams that would be in the conversation?
The only win that I can look at on their record right now and go, okay, that's something to brag about, would be if they beat Auburn, and Auburn, you know, beats Georgia this weekend. You know, that's the only place I can look on their resume and go, okay, that could potentially be something to brag about. So, you know, that's what I mean when I think they need a little help. I think they need Auburn to win this weekend. So Oregon's pulling for Auburn as well. I think, and here's the other thing I'll say, is that when it comes to Alabama, whether you like it or not, I think they move the needle, and I think SEC football moves the needle, and I specifically think the brand of Alabama, when you're talking about these people that are part of this college football committee, I think you have to take into consideration, yes, they're athletic directors, yes, some of them are former coaches, but I think at their core, they're TV programmers, and Alabama and the SEC generate revenue better than any other conference in America, and they generate eyeballs, so you take that into consideration, I think you always have to believe that Alabama is going to have a chance to make this thing.
Hudson, when you looked at the rankings that came out on Tuesday from the committee, one thing that stood out to me was Oklahoma's at 10 and Baylor's at 13. And I know Baylor doesn't have a resume yet, but they're 9-0. But if I'm the Big 12, this scares me a little bit, because if Oklahoma wins, it's a 10 beating a 13, and that would not move Oklahoma up all that much. If Baylor wins, it's beating a 10, and that's again not, it doesn't give me the big push. Is the Big 12 in trouble, or do they need Baylor to be undefeated in order to get at least considered for this thing?
Yeah, I think they need Baylor to be undefeated. I think a Pac-12 champ with one loss will go before especially if it's Oregon and, you know, Auburn plays well down the stretch, that win only or that loss to Auburn early in the season looks even better on Oregon's resume. So, you know, Oregon, Baylor, you look at some of their wins, you know, they've come in really, really close ball games against West Virginia and Texas Tech. And, you know, a couple of those teams are ranked in the inside the top 25. But, you know, I wonder if in this Baylor-Oklahoma game that if Oklahoma wins, let's say, by a touchdown, that is what the committee needs to go, okay, this Baylor team is actually a good team. And if Oklahoma only beats them by 6-7 points, maybe the was okay, that's a good win for Oklahoma. So I've been kind of thinking all week that I think that it would benefit Oklahoma tremendously to only win that game by a couple points. I just think the optics and how you win and everything like that matter to the committee. If Oklahoma goes and blows them out by 30 points, I think we'll all be sitting here going, okay, Baylor wasn't the team that we thought they were.
For a lot of people, and me included, I think what Minnesota did to Penn State over the weekend was a big wake-up call to where the Golden Gophers are. I still don't really know. We'll see more as they play it out and possibly in the Big Ten title game. Did you believe in this Golden Gophers team? Were they as good before the game as you saw them playing in that game against Penn State?
No, I was wrong about them. I think I said on your show last Friday morning I expected Penn State to win, so you know, I was wrong, and they were impressive. I mean, again, just the way they played, how explosive they looked. I mean, PJ Fleck has them playing really well, and I agree with you. That was an impressive win, and I think we learned something about them. I don't think we know, you know, the whole story. The whole book hasn't been written on the Golden Gophers yet. I'm very skeptical that they can run the table. You know, they've got Iowa at Iowa this weekend. I think they can beat Iowa, although I think that's going to be a tough ball game. Iowa plays really, really well at home. And then they got Wisconsin late in the season and then a Big Ten championship. So I'm a bit of a contrarian believing that the Golden Gophers are going to be able to run the table.
I got to touch on your Georgia days. And again, we're talking to Hudson Mason, former Georgia quarterback and college football analyst, because if you know anything about the Southeastern Conference, there is a ton of rivalries that are even beyond the Iron Bowl or Georgia-Florida. One of the oldest rivalries in the sport is Georgia-Auburn. That goes back to like 1892. Yep. It's one of the oldest Deep South rivalries. How do Georgia fans feel about this? I mean, we always talk about the Florida game, but what about the Auburn game? How important is it to Georgia fans? How important is it for Auburn fans?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I'll set the table by this. There are a ton of kids that play for Auburn that come from the state of Georgia. You know, there's a lot of kids that come from the Southwest corridor of the state of Georgia. It produces a lot of really good talent. And right along that Georgia-Alabama line, Columbus, a lot of kids come from that area, and a lot of kids grow up either just going to Georgia or Auburn, since it's right there on the edge of the state line. And so there's a lot of players for both these teams that were heavily recruited by both Georgia and Alabama. George Pickens, who is a five-star freshman receiver for Georgia, was committed to Auburn last year. He was committed to Auburn for 18 months. And on National Signing Day, flipped to Georgia.
Wow.
Flipped a five. Yeah. So Derek Brown is another guy who was once committed to Georgia, flipped to Auburn. So there are a ton of these stories where vice versa, kids were committed, they were recruited, and they flipped back and forth. So, I mean, that provides a great storyline for a lot of these games. And, you know, I remember you asked about the fans and how they view this. I think the perspective of Auburn, because Florida's always been Georgia's biggest rivalry.
Sure.
But I remember 2010, I was a true freshman, and I feel like this is really where it changed. The hatred really, really sunk in and grew for Auburn fans was back in 2010, Nick Fairley, I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah, sure.
He took some shots on Aaron Murray, and Aaron ended up coming out of the game late in the fourth quarter to a nasty, ugly hit to his knee. And I went in the game and finished the game. But there were a lot of people that day looked at kind of that Auburn team, specifically with Nick Fairley, and that's where their hatred kind of grew. They felt like Nick kind of took some cheap shots on Aaron. So I would definitely say Florida's always been that number one rivalry in the book. But you know, you get an opportunity every year, like Georgia does this year. They got an opportunity to clinch the SEC East. that's why this game seems like it's always important, no matter where the teams are in the success of their season or where they're at in the rankings.
Were you surprised Georgia did get that fourth spot by the committee on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I mean, I probably could have, I don't know, I could have saw it both ways. I did have Georgia there, number four, but I'm a big believer in, and I value wins more than I do close losses. You know, so I think the committee looked at the two wins that Georgia has, and they go, okay, we know Georgia has the more egregious loss than Alabama, and that South Carolina loss looks worse and worse by the day. They lost to App State last weekend, but yep. they beat ranked Florida, and they beat Notre Dame, and I think that's the life lesson for Alabama is, you know, could the committee send them a message when this thing is all said and done and say, okay, you're going to have to schedule a tougher out-of-conference schedule. And that's really the difference to me right now is that Notre Dame game for Georgia that they were willing to schedule, and Alabama has shown that, you know, they won't go west of the Mississippi or north of Atlanta to play anybody. So that'll be interesting to see because, you know, if that is what could be the thing that holds Alabama out and if that changes Nick's perspective on how he views out-of-conference games.
Hudson, always good talking to you. Are you heading anywhere this weekend, my friend?
Yeah, we got a great one this weekend going to Baltimore for
excellent.
Texans Ravens. So two of the best young quarterbacks in the league. It's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely. Hey, safe travels, my friend. We'll catch you up with you next week.
All right, Tony. Take care.
You got it. Hudson Mason joins us again, former Georgia quarterback and college football analyst. Georgia Auburn, 1892 goes back. One of the Deep South's large. I mean, you got the Magnolia Bowl this weekend. That is LSU and Ole Miss. That's another storied rivalry that doesn't. It's often overlooked in the SEC because we are very Georgia Florida in the division kind of thing, and Alabama Auburn of course is the Iron Bowl, and that has significance. And we tend to look at the rivalry games if they pop with some sort of level of significance, right? What happens here? These are two good teams. You know, right now, Ole Miss and LSU, the home team has won like six of the last seven meetings, but it doesn't have that same pop this year, but it is one of the good rivalries in the SEC, and Georgia Auburn is too, and that's going on this weekend as well. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Thanks to Hudson Mason, college football analyst, former Georgia quarterback. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If the NFL, Ron, comes down with a huge suspension for Myles Garrett, how long do we remember this game? How does Myles Garrett go down in history as this dirty player, even if he comes back and plays well and makes Pro Bowls and does all these good things?
I don't know if he goes down as a dirty player. I think you need to be a repeat offender to gain the dirty player.
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't think, I'm with you. I don't think you can get that label after one instant. But let's say it's a year. Let's say it's 16 games going into next season. And if you're Myles Garrett, how much does this... Do you always, you never live this down?
No, that's always going to be in the back of your mind. Listen, but I don't think we put the dirty player, I don't think he's up there with, say, a Vontaze Burfict or Albert Haynesworth or Ndamukong Suh.
Okay, better question. Does it become Kermit Washington, who punched Rudy Tomjanovich in the face? And we only know him for that.
Well, if his career doesn't
Let's say his career is
anything.
Average, and
his career doesn't
even if he makes
anything,
a Pro Bowl or two, even if he makes a Pro Bowl or two,
no, I think if he doesn't become, he's supposed to be one of the outstanding defenders.
Yeah. He's their best defender.
Oh, I'm not just talking about for the Browns. I'm talking about for the league.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good.
This incredible defensive guy who we're going to be talking about, Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame. But if this seems to be his moment in the sun, because after this, his career derails, then yeah, this is what he'll be known for.
Yeah. You can be remembered for something, but not known for something. Meaning you can have a great career and be remembered for, like Pedro Martinez, for example, right? When he tackled Don Zimmer. Remember the brawl between the Red Sox and the Yankees? We don't say, oh, Pedro Martinez, wasn't that guy that dragged that old man down when he came out of the dugout?
That dirty player.
Right, that dirty, but we remember Pedro Martinez for a lot of the things that he did when he was a pitcher, but we also remember this.
Yeah.
So it's possible that Garrett goes down in history as, yeah, the one time he swung the helmet, but he was also a five-time Pro Bowler and
he's
you know,
not the first to use a helmet as a weapon.
Right. So
I mean, Richie Incognito did.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he swung at a guy with his own helmet.
He's a perfect example, though. Right? He's a perfect example. Like, Richie Incognito's had some good seasons, but nobody remembers that.
We don't know anything about
him. He's a bully and went into that funeral home screaming and saying he was going to shoot up the place.
To be honest with you, man, I would have a. I know he was an offensive lineman. I'm 80% sure he was an offensive lineman.
Right.
I couldn't tell you where he was on the line. I'm assuming he wasn't a left tackle.
Right.
But I'm thinking he was a guard of some sort.
Well,
I'm not 100% sure because that's what I don't know about him.
That's exactly right.
I know him for being a bully. I know him for the funeral home incident. I know him for among other things. And now he's kind of lost on the Raiders.
That's right. So it's obviously going to be the big deal for the next couple weeks and whenever.
But how many times are we going to see this replay on Sunday?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many. Well, they're already, I mean, they can't, these shows, these pregame shows, they can't wait to dissect this thing.
Oh,
where they go around the room waiting. To everybody. Tell us what you think, Michael Strahan or Jimmy Johnson or anybody else. Like,
and maybe we'll know the suspension
Boomer Esiason. Yeah, start yapping. So we might. Yeah, well, who knows? We'll see. SB Nation Radio. Have a good Friday.